to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation, and this week I'm not joined by Tristan Vick. He is away with a family plague. Apparently, the sicknesses have overtaken his house. However, in his stead, we have recruited the one and only Pete Welpton. How's it going, Pete?
Is Dustin Nation, is Nation really your name?
It is my name. It is not
like a stage name.
Nope, I'm not registered with the Screen Actors Guild or anything like that. That is my given name.
You know, for a guy that grew up with the name Peter, I'm kind of jealous. You got a cool kick-ass name like Dustin Nation.
Well, you know, when you're a fat kid and they call you Dustin the size of a nation, you don't really think that way. But now the whole world is named after my childhood.
Dustin, I'm laughing with you, not at you. That's actually whoever actually thought of that one for a kid. That's a clever one. Actually,
the fifth graders, man, they're smart little cookies.
I always tell the story. I'll never forget the day when my best friend's older brother told my best friend that there was another definition for the word Peter. So I get it.
I'm sure that's like marked in your internal calendar.
Yes, forever and ever.
All right. So if you don't know Pete is the co-host of The Kick Around on The Ticket. He is the co-editor of Third Degree Blog. And now he is a co-host of the Third Degree Podcast with Buzz Carrick. I'm sure I'm missing something, but
not really. No, you covered it pretty good there.
All right. So why don't you tell us your soccer story? Like how did you end up doing all of those things, and what's your background? How'd you end up here?
I'll try to keep it as short as possible. So, I've been in the media business, pretty much my entire life. I've been in the radio business for over 30 years, but about the time Major League Soccer started and the Dallas Burn existed, I, like many people back in 1996, got really excited that there was a top flight league that was organized. And, at the time I was working for a company that I was traveling quite a bit for. I was living in New York at the time, the first year, but all of the markets that I had to work for business were Dallas, Denver, Kansas City, and I'm forgetting another one, which were all ironically MLS original markets, maybe Columbus as well. And so I was getting a chance to watch, not only come back to Dallas to watch Dallas play at the Cotton Bowl, but I was getting to follow them around and catch them at Arrowhead Stadium or Mile High Stadium or at the original place out in New Jersey, whatever that was, Meadowlands. And so after the first year season was over, my wife and I moved back to Dallas, and, you know, blogs and the internet and that kind of stuff was really starting to super blossom at that point. And I had gotten interest in trying to learn more about digital media to go along with traditional media. And writing about soccer and kind of covering it as a blogger seemed like a really good starting point. And it just happened to be that Buzz was starting Third Degree at that time and looking for people to help him create content. And that was 1997. And he and I have been sharing those duties ever since. I said duty.
So we officially have Peter and Duty on this podcast. So we've... I don't know what to do with that.
I work blue, Dustin. Sorry.
My 5-year-old self is giggling. Let's be honest. I'm giggling. All right. Well, that's pretty cool. It's very convenient that all those cities had MLS teams.
Yeah, it was pure coincidence. That's actually the same reason why I got to go and be in attendance for the original 2-0 US-Mexico game at Columbus on that very, very cold night. I was actually there that night, and that was fantastic. So it was all just kind of how it came together, and it worked out really, really well.
Very nice. You and Buzz are, as the kids say, OG.
Yes, we are definitely OG. O for old.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's go ahead and let's pivot a little bit and talk about the Colorado match. I mean, I don't really want to. It's kind of something I want to kind of forget. But if you didn't happen to catch it, FC Dallas lost 2-1 off of an 83rd minute corner goal. What did you make of that match, Peter?
Well, actually, Buzz and I talked about it at length in the episode for Third Degree Podcast that we pushed out earlier today. I'll just repeat what I said there, which was I didn't get to watch the game live. But when I got in my car and turned on my phone and saw the score, I thought to myself, I probably don't need to watch this because I suspect this is like pretty much every other game that this team has played this year. The only difference is they lost a one goal game, which really is the major difference between this team in 2018 versus 2017. Buzz was the one that dug up the stat that I think is really telling. Like, if you really want to understand the difference between the team this year and last year the team in one goal games had a winning percentage of about like 0.58. This year, the winning percentage, well, until yesterday, was 0.75. And now it's like down to 0.698 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So its ability to grind out and win one goal games through the entirety of the season in 2018 is really the difference. But other than that, this is largely the same team in many ways and aspects, statistically, stylistically, in many different ways as it was last year. It just was better at grinding out and working a little harder and winning a bunch of games.
Well, speaking of grinding out results, it seems to me the past couple of matches we've kind of shifted away from that grinding out style, and we've been playing really open football, and it's worked out in the first half, but it really hasn't. It's kind of let us down as the games have worn on. Do you think that? I asked Tristan this last week, and we kind of got interrupted by the internet. So I'm going to continue this train of thought here. Does Oscar need to go back to that pure counterattacking style where we just bunker down and our goal is to keep them from scoring? And then if we score, good.
Well, I'm not convinced they've gotten away from that. I'm not, but I'd also tell you they're not particularly good at counterattacking. I'm too lazy to do the work to try to figure it out. But you know, Buzz and Dan and I and Armin have had this conversation multiple times about, you know, a team that creates even or odd man counterattacks, for a team that seems to have done that more times than I can count, the number of times they've actually converted that into goals. Or even, you know, shots on goal or super great opportunities is a very low percentage. I don't think they've gotten away from counterattacking. What I think has happened is other teams have figured out ways to manage and control Dallas by minimizing their ability to counterattack. So there are several teams they've played of late, Colorado being one of them, Columbus being one of them, Kansas City to a degree even. Those teams all figured out that as long as you can kind of keep Dallas from getting on the run, you've probably got a better opportunity. The more times you force Dallas into trying to play patient and figure out how to unlock a pack defense, the better the odds are you're going to prevent them from scoring. And so I think that's maybe a more of a byproduct. I don't think it's a function of Oscar getting away from anything. I think it's more of a function of how teams have figured out how best to play Oscar's teams.
That's fair. Yeah. However, one of the things that I noticed, like especially in the Kansas City game, was just how easily Barrios was able to get in behind the defense on the counter. Mm-hmm. But we did nothing came of it this time. But do you think that we'll see some of that? Well, we can talk about this in a little bit in the Portland preview. But do you think, just in general, do you think we'll see more of that going forward, of Barrios maybe playing a more forward role and less of the winger?
Well, you know, they've tried sticking, you know, the Barrios experiment didn't start that way in the original Kansas City game where he scored wasn't it a hat trick?
Yeah. His first hat trick, right?
Yeah. You know, he started out on the wing, and then Oscar noted that Kansas City was playing a very high line. Remember, they didn't have Baji at that point. They didn't have a ton of speed. And I believe at that point, Coleman was still hurt too. So Oscar smartly figured out that he had an opportunity to put some speed behind Kansas City's defense, and that worked out to their advantage. And I think they tried to do something similar in the last Kansas City game, albeit with Bodgy in the lineup, and it worked. But this is really the problem of this team the entire season. We've been, you know, I've written about it. I've talked about it on the show. Buzz has written about it endlessly. Other people have pointed it out and written about it and tweeted about it. The team's conversion of shots and goals, shot selection, one, just taking good opportunities, but two, actually converting goals is miserably low. It's one of the worst in the league. And so this is a team that, you know, from an attacking standpoint, has done enough work to create opportunities. It's the finishing that has continued to just be the demise of them all season long.
Yeah, I meant to look up before we got on here. I just didn't get a chance. I meant to look up our XG to G ratio and see exactly.
You know what? For a second, I'll find it because Jeff Carlisle from ESPN actually put it in an article he wrote earlier today. So give me a second and I'll find it for you.
All right. So what am I supposed to talk about?
Well, you can ask me a question or anything. I'll have it here in just a minute. In fact, I'm looking it up right now. We'll edit this out, right?
Maybe not.
From Jeff Carlisle's article at ESPN, he says that there is a 5.63 gap between expected goals and actual goals scored, which is fourth worst in the league.
Yikes.
Yeah. But again, you don't have to be a stats nerd, and God bless those of you who are, to know that this team just fundamentally has been really poor at finishing. You know, in the Colorado game on Sunday, mm-hmm. you know, Bodgy didn't touch the ball very much. He really hasn't lived up to any of the hopes that I think a lot of people had when they got him in the Acosta trade. But that one opportunity, he ended that game with one shot. Right. It wasn't on goal. He worked very hard to beat his defender and get to the ball. And he had at least half the goal open to the far post, and he pushed it wide, which is pretty classic Bodgy. And you've seen Mosquera, boot balls into the stand. You've seen Maxi either score absolute golazos and probably do it two or three times in a row, and then he dries up like he's currently in the state now. And you've watched Barrios. So, I mean, Barrios was struggling miserably, and his dry spell went, you know, stretched into the previous season. And it finally took the Kansas City game where he scored the hat trick to break it. But he hasn't scored a ton of goals since then. So finishing really has been this team's real Achilles heel.
So just thinking off the cuff here, do you think that's a product of the players themselves, or do you think that's something maybe to do with the system or the what they do in training, or a combination of all the above?
I've talked to Buzz, who goes to all the practices and hangs out and watches the team. It's a byproduct of two things. One, it's a confidence level. A confidence issue. Strikers and attacking players grow through phases. But two, at the end of the day, there is a quality issue at hand. This is my opinion. I don't think you'd have to ask Buzz directly. Buzz will tell you it's a lot of it having to do purely with confidence. I would tell you, in addition to that, I think it has a lot to do with just the if you want to think of it in terms like of a video game, when you're playing FIFA and you see how all the players are giving ratings, all of the players that we're talking about for Dallas tend to be kind of that in that mid range. They're not terrible players. They're not bad players. They're good to somewhere between good and great, but they're not consistently great players. And that's what makes up the bulk of this roster. And Oscar has done wonders in squeezing it as tightly as he can to get as much juice out of it. But there isn't anybody on this team that is an exquisitely good and consistent finisher, with the exception And maybe, well, I shouldn't say the exception. The best one being, ironically, Roland Lemah, right? So he's tied for the team in goals with 8 with a Rudy, but he's played way less than Max this season. But he's the one guy who's in the box, oddly enough, who seemed to finish a lot. So I think to answer your question, that's what I think it is. I think it's just purely the quality of player overall, but I'm sure confidence has something to do with it too.
Sure. Yeah. I was reading an article on, I think it was either an article or a tweet from American Soccer Analytics, and they basically ran the goals per cost of the player numbers, and the cost of the player, like if they went over TAM, they scored a substantially higher amount of goals than the players under TAM. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'd hope that to be true, right? You'd hope that, you know, players that cost more money produce more on the field. And unfortunately for Dallas, I'm sorry, what?
Which is why they cost more.
Right. Exactly. So when you see Seattle go out and get a Ruiz Diaz Arce, or Atlanta go out and get a, and his name's melting my brain right now, the kick ass striker for Atlanta.
Joseph Martinez.
Yeah. Martinez. Thank you. Or David Villa for NYCFC, or Rooney for that matter, or Zlatan. You get what you pay for. Dallas just isn't built as a business model to do that. And so it's really up to Oscar to get the most out of his team as he possibly can. And I think that's where this kind of falls short. And the Christian Coleman experiment is, you know, maybe the greatest indicator of that, which is they spent the most money they've ever spent for a guy in terms of a transfer fee on him. And he never panned out. I've never believed that Christian Coleman was ever going to be an MLS quality striker, and he just proved never to be that.
For sure. We could do a whole episode on Christian Coleman. I'm sure we could.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we go too much down a dark hole, talking about, you know, the past couple games, let's take a look forward at Portland on Wednesday. That's tomorrow on Halloween night, in probably going to be some rain. What are you expecting for that match from I assume the attendance is going to be pretty bad for a playoff match. Any arguments there?
Well, you know, assuming that it's going to continue, it's going to be raining Wednesday night as predicted, although the last report I heard is that maybe it's supposed to let up by 5 o'clock. But because it's Halloween, because they literally only had 2 days to sell it, and the rain and just kind of the general probably attitude about all of it. Yeah, I don't think the attendance will be very good tomorrow night. I'm not anticipating it now.
People aren't exactly jazzed about this team right now.
No, it's a weird team, and which is weird, right? Because this is a team that was in first place for the majority of the season, or for long stretches of the season. Yet this last 5 weeks has been really, really poor. One of the things that we were talking about on our podcast today is, when the middle of the season rolled around and Dallas was sitting in first place and hit a couple of road bumps, after the big win at home on July 4th against Atlanta, if you'll remember, Dallas lost a few games in a row, and suddenly that big padded lead they had in first place started to get chipped away at, and Oscar and the players and other people in the front office got really testy when the media started asking about, oh, are we going to have a sequel to last year's collapse? And Oscar in particular was really sensitive to that. And they were insistent that that was not going to happen. And sure enough, they had a couple of wins that seemed to dispel that idea. But now that the season's over, if you really go back and look at it, the differences between the second half of last year, which was the historic collapse, and the second half of this year, the difference is simply two ties were converted to two wins. the second half of 2017, which is the worst half of soccer in the history of major of the league, was 4-7-6, 4 wins, 7 losses, 6 draws. This year, Dallas was successful in just upping that to 6 wins, 7 losses, and 4 draws. But what's really interesting is that the last 5 games of the season, which is kind of that pedal to the metal, we've got to get into form before we get into the playoffs. Dallas has actually had a worse record this year than they did last year. They were 2-1-2 last year. They managed a record of 1-3-1 in their last 5 games. And those 3 obviously being 3 losses in a row to end the season.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why people aren't too jazzed at this particular moment.
Yeah, I was at the press conference after the Sporting Kansas City game, and one of the Spanish speaking reporters was asking about Oscar about whether or not this is the 2017 over again, and he got Oscar's very, very balanced. If you've ever watched him in one of these things, like, he's very calm, very thoughtful, and then he, like, it sounded like he was calm and thoughtful, but if you watched his face, he was very perturbed. So
yeah, you know, I was there that day, and I know exactly what you're talking about, and he was upset. You know, he expended a lot of energy trying to protect his team and trying to get everybody to stop thinking about last season, and he's really struggled to run away from what happened last year. And it was better this year. It just wasn't a lot better.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the way you get that to go away is you fix it and then nobody asks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, Portland, they've not been in a great run of form coming in. They rested a bunch of players on the last day of the season. I think they lost, right? So
They rested a lot of players, which was an interesting decision that may come back in their favor, because just simply for the reason that now they've got guys that are on rest and that Dallas does not.
Yep. I think we'll only have practiced one day before tomorrow. So do you, how do I want to put this? Let's just go ahead and let's ask, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow at the match? Do you think Dallas will be able to overcome Portland, or do you think that the playoffs will be ending for us?
I think this is going to be this will be a microcosm of the 2018 season. It's going to be a game that will be a grind. Dallas will create opportunities, and this game will seriously come down to 2 things. Can Dallas convert the opportunities they actually create? Whoever that is. And 2, maybe even more importantly, can Dallas successfully stop their, you know, the fact that Portland does actually have a game changing type player on their roster in Diego Valeri. Now, Valeri and Chara and a couple other guys are all really good players, but they're all in their 30s. Portland has been really, really poor at home. On the road, they've been very good at home, very poor on the road. I think they've only won 4 games on the road this year. And typically home teams have the best track record in these knockout games, blah, 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 blah. So to try to answer your question, there are some conflicting histories here. Portland's knocked Dallas out of the playoffs multiple times of late. That's been kind of a bugaboo for them. I think this game's going to be super tight. I don't think this game will end up being won by 2 or 3 goals. I think this is going to end up being a 1-0, 2-1 type of affair. And I think Dallas will squeak through just based simply on the fact that they've been so good at home versus how bad Portland's been on the road. At the end of the day, when it comes down to these types of games, I tend to fall onto the idea of just think of the most obvious reasons to come up with a result. And it's home versus road performance for both these teams. And I think that's what will get Dallas over the line in this one game, like a 1-0, 2-1 kind of win.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think if you were to ask me, I would say FC Dallas 1-0. However, what is, do you happen to know, because I can't think of the answer to this question, but do you know what the, like, how the knockout games work if the game is tied after the end of regulation? Do they play extra time, or do they go to, and then penalties?
Yep, they do a 2 15-minute extra time periods, and if it's still tied after that, you go to good old-fashioned PKs.
It'd be very FC Dallas to go to that second regulation or second overtime period.
Yeah, it would be very, even if it went to penalty kicks. Remember Portland, the year Portland won the MLS Cup, they actually went to penalties against, I think it was Kansas City, and I believe a Kansas City player's, one of the late PKs actually ended up colliding off both posts. It hit the right post and came across the face of the goal, hit the left post and went and stayed out. And that was the difference between them getting to MLS Cup and not, if I remember correctly.
Jeez.
I made all that up. I don't know.
I wouldn't know, as I don't think I was an MLS fan at that point in my life. So I'm going to take your word for it and say, wow. All right. So hopefully our predictions come true. And FC Dallas is on to the next phase of the playoffs. Let's take a step back though. And let's look at the MLS as a whole. Do you have any predictions besides the obvious, the East is going to be awesome to watch, on what happens in these playoffs? Who, if you had to pick the finalists, who would you pick?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind that Seattle's getting to MLS Cup. That team's won 14 out of 16 games. They've done what they've needed to do to get the right players in at midseason. The Diaz Arce acquisition was ballsy and genius and has paid off tremendously for them. They're in some of the best form I've ever seen an MLS team in at this point. They're just absolutely killing it. I'd be shocked if they didn't make MLS Cup, and I make them only slight secondary favorites to win MLS Cup. I think the Red Bull is actually going to end up winning MLS Cup this year.
That's a good shout. I think Red Bulls are going to win as well. I think the West, I think Seattle is I think that they're probably right up there. I think it's a little bit more of a kind of a close to see who's going to get there between them and Kansas City, but I think probably they would edge out Kansas City. There you go.
Yeah, I'm not convinced Kansas City isn't going to have a hard time. It will probably end up being Seattle and Kansas City in Kansas City. Seattle's in such great form. Red Bulls, here's the reality. And this is more of a passion prediction than anything else. I want Red Bulls to win. I want a team that is one of the original franchises. You know, Dallas and New York are the only two left that haven't won MLS Cup. I would love to see an Eastern team win the Cup again. They've played so well this year. They've really deserved it. And that also means they will have beaten Atlanta to get there more than likely. And I think that game will be tremendous. So winning a game in New Jersey at Red Bull Arena, I just think would be a fantastic end of the season for the league.
I agree. That's kind of what I'm rooting for as well. All right. Well, that's about all we have time for tonight. Thank you so much for joining me, Peter.
Well, thanks for waiting to invite me to do this until the most depressing part of the season. Thanks, Dustin.
Well, you know, you're
busting
welcome.
Your chops. It's cool. Don't worry about it.
You're welcome. Yeah, I was talking to Tristan the other day, and we saw you at one of the press conferences, and I'm like, you know what? Of all the people we've had on, I think the last of the mainstays that we haven't had on is you and Andy from the Kick Around. So
have you had Buzz?
Yeah, Buzz has been on.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, and let's get I'll make introductions to Andy, and you guys can have Andy on after the season is over, right, whenever that is, whether that's Wednesday night or sometime I'm looking at the date right now, on December the 8th. You can interview him on December the 9th. How about that?
There you go. Listeners, you have a sneak peek into what may be coming this year, this offseason. So,
yeah.
All right. Where can people find you?
Working with Third Degree, which all that content is posted at the Dallas Morning News. We're a content partner with the Dallas Morning News. Buzz's podcast for Third Degree has just been posted as well. So any of that stuff you can find, probably the easiest way to locate it is thirddegree.net, which is the number 3RD, the word degree.net, which will take you to the page at the Dallas Morning News. Or you can also do @ThirdDegreeNet on Twitter. And then on Saturdays, most Saturdays, 2 to 4 on the ticket, we do Andy Swift and I. Andy Swift, by the way, who is the executive director of the Dallas Cup and formerly the general manager of the Dallas Burn and one of the original front office executives for Major League Soccer in its inception back, 20 some odd years ago, is my co-host of the Kick Around Saturdays on the ticket. But that was a lot for that question you asked me. Sorry.
And also on Twitter at PEET2, Pete2.
Oh, yeah. But that gets really weird. So
you self-promotion. It's okay. Okay. Well, again, thank you, Peter. And hopefully we will be able to do an episode next week talking about the next round of the playoffs. So
I hope we all do. That would be fantastic. That would be great. And I hope a lot of people show up tomorrow night and the weather works out great and the team plays up to their promise.
Excellent. Yes, sounds good. All right. Happy Halloween, everybody. Take it easy.
Bye.